I just want a show of hands of how many people are Canadian citizens in this room. Okay, and how many of those people are Canadian born? Okay, and how many of you are naturalized in the sense that you became Canadian citizens? Well, right now, what's going to happen with the passage of the new Citizenship Act, C-18, is that there's going to be a distinction created between those who are born here and those who are naturalized here. One thing that we could always rest assured was that once you got your Canadian citizenship, you were equal to all other citizens. Well, this is going to be completely eradicated by this new proposed act. The measures that both Sophie and Matthew were talking about that are being taken against permanent residents and refugees are now also going to be used to strip you of your citizenship if you are a naturalized citizen. So again, the same secret trial provisions. So I want to talk a little bit about exactly what the Citizenship Act proposes. It's currently has passed its first reading, and it's in its second reading, so there's still an opportunity for us to stop this from becoming law. And it's actually following on the heels of its predecessors, which were C-63 and C-16, which both unfortunately had passed passed the third reading, but then died on the order paper. C-18 is a reincarnation of those provisions, but of course it incorporates a lot of the fear mongering tactics that are in the Immigration Act and includes them in the new proposal. But before I get into how it adopts the measures under the Immigration Act, which I know Rocco will talk about it at length, I want to talk about the context of the proposed changes to the Citizenship Act. Prior to 1947, the first Citizenship Act, there was no such thing as Canadian citizenship. Everyone, both Canadian and Canadian-born and naturalized, were considered British subjects. The 1947 Act created the notion of citizens, and it also abolished dual citizenship. Then in 1977, a new Citizenship Act came into force, and it significantly changed the law by allowing dual citizenship, and then also it reduced the period of qualifying residency before you could become a citizen. So it sort of liberalized citizenship. Now in 2002, after September 11th, the government decided that it needed a new Citizenship Act to try to do the things that they've been doing to immigrants and refugees, but now they need to broaden that power to also include naturalized citizen. The suggested changes to the Citizenship Act and the proposal for the national ID card that Matthew mentioned are occurring in a climate of suspicion, racial profiling, and what can only be described as anti-terrorism hysteria. Based on both real and manufactured fears of terrorism, new policies are being pushed that are unrestrained in their attacks on purported Canadian values, including our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And the events of September 11th are being used as a justification for these changes. The current anti-terrorism legislation, which is infamously known as Bill C-36 and the Anti-Terrorism Act, including the tightening of immigration and the changes to the Immigration Act, were for the most part in progress even before September 11th. And from our experience, the borders of Canada were already starting to tighten for immigrants, refugees, and migrants as a method of addressing the current economic crisis and Canada's demands for cheap labor. So it's within this context of fighting terrorism that new immigration and citizenship proposals make a specific and constant link between immigrants and terrorism, even naturalized citizens and terrorism. Instead of understanding how the majority of immigrants, migrants, and refugees are victims of economic crisis and political repression in their home countries, citizenship and immigration policy is actually heightening the mentality of us versus them, where immigrant and refugee communities in Canada continue to be segregated and economically marginalized. The climate of anti-terrorism hysteria has given the tightening of Canadian borders and the attacks on immigrants and refugees a new impetus and justification. In the last year and a half, there have been such a rapid implementation of anti-terrorism measures that it is often difficult for the majority of Canadians to stay informed of proposed changes, let alone allow people to participate in any sort of public debate or to even make submissions to the committees that are responsible for studying them and implementing them. We've already seen the targeting and unjustified treatment of people of color, particularly from Middle Eastern Muslim countries, and also political activists in the current climate of suspicion, racial profiling, and anti-terrorism hysteria. Okay. Middle Eastern people are losing their jobs or not being hired, are harassed at the border, and face discrimination and refusal of democratic rights, such as admittance into educational programs or being granted permanent resident status or being granted citizenship status despite meeting all the eligibility requirements. Sophie was talking about how her husband was his application was continuously pending, and there was never any reason given why he had to wait such long periods of time before he actually got his status. Under under C-18, the power granted to the Minister of Citizenship and Immigration and Cabinet will only grant more power to those with clear political interests to take action based on the climate of targeting and hysteria. Furthermore, with the international harmonization of anti-terrorism legislation, the possibility of leaving attacks on political dissidents gains new international proportions. For example, in Section 18 of C-18, information can be obtained about illegally obtaining of certificates, which could potentially come from regimes interested in the silencing or persecution of political activists in Canada. And Section 21 of the Act talks about, denies citizenship to anyone who would be in a flagrant and serious disregard for the principles and values underlying a free and democratic society. But it doesn't define what those values are. And so, really, the interpretation of the statement is left open to the interpretation of the members of Cabinet. And this places an inordinate amount of power in the hands of groups with the potential to make politically motivated decisions. And, of course, that's going to change as governments change. Also, C-18 incorporates a lack of democratic process. The secrecy of evidence used to revoke someone's citizenship, to annul it, or to deny them citizenship, coupled with the power granted to the Minister of Citizenship and Immigration and Cabinet to make such decisions, violates all principles of impartiality, due process, and equality before the law. So they're taking the power away from the courts and an open process where you can actually see the evidence that they purportedly have against you. It's now going to be removed to a minister and his or her cabinet and very closed court proceedings. This deepens a citizenship divide where the world of us versus them, immigrants, are condemned to never leave the category of them. Under the proposals, refugees and immigrants continue to live under the threat of deportation or of having their citizenship taken away, a right that Canadian citizens from birth never have to question. The denial of citizenship to people with criminal records also has significant effect on political refugees. Many convention refugees have had trumped-up charges laid against them and have spent time imprisoned for their legitimate political activities in their country of nationality. They are now going to be criminalized for voicing their commitment to social justice, peace, and human rights against repressive dictatorships and state forces. The precise reason that they are fleeing state persecution and precisely the reason why they qualify for refugee status, fleeing state persecution and precisely the reason why they qualify for refugee status is now going to be the reason used against them to deny them citizenship in Canada. So the effect, Canada would be joining a repressive regime in condemning refugees for their political views and activities. Then there's the National Identity Card, and then after that I'm just going to conclude. The National Identity Card that's currently under discussion would potentially contain both personal information and biometric information from all reports and would be mandatory for all Canadian citizens. The card was introduced as a way to end identity fraud and ensure security. That's the reason that we're always given. While it is questionable whether the card would fulfill these purposes, the more pressing issues are the detrimental impact they will have on Canadians and stated Canadian values of democracy, human rights, and freedoms. The National Identity Card was introduced by Minister Coderre as a way to help avoid delays at the U.S. border, particularly for those who may be singled out based on their country of origin. This is nothing but racial profiling. It targets people for their country of origin, particularly Middle Eastern countries, but generally all third world countries, and it violates principles of equality and human rights. This is already happening with people on their passports, because all our Canadian passports do have a category for country of birth. And, of course, people are being taken aside, regardless of being a Canadian citizen, being deported back to their country of birth, even though they no longer have any connection to that country, might not even be a citizen of that country, such as the case of the Syrian who was deported, I forgot his name. Mr. Arar, yeah, who actually is still languishing there. However, instead of challenging the American policy to conduct racial profiling of Canadian citizens, the manner in which the National Identity Card was introduced actually legitimizes and normalizes racial profiling conducted at the American border. This legitimizing of racial profiling could very likely lead to the same actions in Canada, which we're seeing under the National Registry System in the U.S., and it's being proposed as an anti-terrorism measure by the Canadian government. Again, it violates all principles of equality and human rights. Unlike a passport or driver's license, the proposed national identity card would be mandatory for all Canadian citizens. So this can affect everybody in this room. Containing personal and biometric information and used to track where we travel, where we eat, and lots more. The National Identity Card represents a major threat to our right to privacy. With the harmonization of anti-terrorism legislation internationally, I don't know if Rocco's going to talk about the Patriotism Act number 2 that's actually contains further draconian measures if it's possible, if there are any rights left. But the information, so we're going to see probably similar harmonization to try to keep up with the new standards that are being set to fight terrorism. The information contained in the card, on top of being shared with federal and provincial agencies, will also be potentially shared with government overseas and all around the world. So you can just imagine how this is going to impact on someone who's a refugee and is actually coming to Canada for protection. Canada will basically be snitching on them in their country of nationality. As this private information is made available for use by police and intelligence agents, there's little guarantee that it will not be misinterpreted, intentionally or not, to suit the political motivations of the particular individuals or nation. And this is a particular concern in the climate of racial profiling, where people of color are suspected for political activity. Needless to say, this violates our charter. It reproduces the McCarthyism remnants of 1950s in both Canada and the U.S., where people were arrested, lost their jobs, faced persecution and prosecution simply just by being accused of being a communist. Now you can just substitute communists for terrorists, or even belonging to a certain religious or ethnic group, or having certain political and religious beliefs and convictions will be enough to attract that definition. And, of course, it can completely destroy your life, as Sophie was mentioning. So I'd be happy to talk about this some more and take your questions. Thank you.